My name is Garland Robinson. Friend, you know the Bible is the most unique book in all the world. None have ever been its equal, nor will there ever be. Far too many don't realize it, but the Bible is the operations manual for this planet. It was given by a gracious, loving, benevolent God in heaven above. It tells us of our origin in the world. It reveals to us the purpose of our existence. And it announces the destiny to which every human being will arrive someday. It is to that end and for that purpose that we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And then also we read in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Oh, that the world would learn about and embrace God's will. What a delight it would be to live in a world where everyone sought to do that which is right simply because it is right. Would it not be nice to have association with people who did unto others as they would have others do unto them? That's what we read in the Lord's famous Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verse 12, that we need to treat other people as we'd like to be treated, as we would like our mother treated, our wife or husband, or our children treated. Wouldn't it be nice if everyone treated each other as we would like to be treated ourselves? If everyone would look to the hereafter rather than their own selfish conceit and their life right now, it might be possible to live in such a world. But, of course, such is not the case. In what we call the Great Commission, Jesus gives us the charge to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel to every single person on the planet. However, so few of the world's population hear the message of the cross, and sadly, the majority of those who do hear it turn their backs on it. They never follow through with faithful service in the Lord's cause. You know, friend, the Lord only knows how many have heard the words of eternal life. Jesus spoke about them in John 6 and verse 68. Those words of eternal life, when obeyed, will give unto us eternal life. And a lot of people have heard them, but they've never obeyed them. We could speak of the rich young ruler we read about in Matthew 19. He heard the words, but he turned away sadly. For the Bible says he had great riches. That is, he chose his popularity, his money, his wealth, rather than obeying God and receiving eternal life. We could speak about the Jews who stoned Stephen in Acts chapter 7. The words Stephen was preaching were the words of eternal life. And when those people could hear those words, believe those words, and obey them, they might be forgiven of their sin and their waywardness. But instead of doing that, they picked up stones and they stoned Stephen until he was dead. In Acts 17, we could speak about the Athenians and strangers on Mars Hill. And when they heard the words of eternal life, the Bible says so many of them mocked when they heard of the resurrection of the dead. We could speak about the chief rulers in John chapter 12. They believed in the Lord on one hand, but on the other, the Bible says they would not confess Him, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. How many people are in the world like that today? They hear the word, and they actually think about obeying it, and maybe they even do for a short time, but then when they get the wayward pull of the old backward world, their old habits, their old friends, the old things that they've enjoyed for so long. They become embarrassed, they become ashamed, and they abandon the truth, do not obey the truth, and they go back to the world. They refuse to confess Christ. Oh, what a tragedy that is. Can you imagine what it's going to be like on the day of judgment when these very people that heard the words of life stand there knowing that they practically held it in their hand? They actually heard it for a moment. They thought about it, but they turned away from it. Can you imagine being that close? Oh, what a tragedy that'll be. Could not we then do all that we can to try to encourage and rebuke when necessary those who are wayward, who are not Christians, that they might learn the truth, they might love the truth, they might obey the truth? But you know, in John chapter 6, we even read of some of the Lord's own disciples who turned away from Jesus and followed Him no more. It turned out they followed Him for the loaves and the fishes, that is, for what they could get out of Him. On the one hand, maybe they liked hearing Him in the words, but they lacked the physical, the material things of the world, just what they could use Him for, to their own gain, to their own profit. And when the chips were down, when it come time to show their true fidelity, they didn't have any, because they had deliberately made the choice to follow the ways of the world. How many people are like that? And then we can think of a man in the New Testament in the book of Acts whose name was Felix. Felix was a governor. We first read of him in Acts the 23rd chapter, beginning in verse 24, where he is mentioned as being the governor in Caesarea. The Apostle Paul was in Jerusalem, and he was teaching, preaching the truth of Almighty God. But the people didn't like it, and they literally flew into him, tearing him to pieces, seeking to put him to death. But a chief captain among the Roman soldiers there, his name was Claudius Lysias, he rushed in when he heard of the trouble that was going on, and he rescued Paul from the mob. Claudius sent Paul to Felix, the governor. When he learned there was a plot concerning Paul's life, in Acts 23, beginning in verse 16, we read that he received news that certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul." Can you imagine people having such disgust and hatred and evil intent toward another human being? Paul had done them absolutely no harm. He was no threat whatsoever to them or to any other man. As a matter of fact, the words that he would speak could bring mercy and forgiveness to their perishing souls if they would only hear, believe, and obey. Isn't that often the case? I think of that a lot, I guess, when I deal with animals, maybe wild animals, those that are not as domesticated, even farm animals. We mean them no harm. We only want to help them. One of them gets hurt, we try to tend to their foot, to their leg. We want to aid, we want to assist, we want to feed, we want to tend to, but they're wild. They don't know that we're seeking to help them, and they shy away. They run. A lot of people are like that. We, as the children of God, as the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, we mean no harm. We are patient and loving and caring. We would do people good every opportunity that we have, but far so many people don't see it that way. They think we've got an ulterior motive. They think we've got something up our sleeve. They think we're into this for gain, because that's what they're all about. And they think that we are too. And it's a marvel sometimes when you run across people that cannot understand, cannot believe that we would actually do good deeds and help them because it's right, because we care about them. We want to help, but they don't see it that way. They think, oh, something's up here, something's going on, because they have lived in the world so long and around people that had that kind of character and treated them that way, that they're suspicious and wary of anyone who would do good and to do right. Oh, what a tragedy that is. Wouldn't it be great if people could trust one another? If we had the incentive to do good and right, and people would follow through with that, they could hear the words of truth and soberness. Why not hear those words? Why not believe, receive, accept them? Because they are the words of life. And when we fulfill what those words tell us to do in obedience, doing the will of God, oh, what a treasure that would be. Friend, are you listening now and you've never obeyed the gospel? Or perhaps you have obeyed, you have some background in the Lord's church and in the truth. You once loved what the Bible teaches and obeying God and worshiping Him in spirit and truth, but you've been soured somewhere along the way. You've seen someone misbehave. You've observed some hypocrites somewhere that were not as they should be, and you tend to think that that's what everybody else is. That what's the use? Why obey? Nobody else is. Why do what God has commanded? Because the whole world is out to get you. We read over in 1 John chapter 5 that a statement made there by inspiration of the Apostle John said, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Well, that doesn't mean every single person. It's simply a figure of speech as if it were all of society, but that's not the case. There are good people in society, and there are good people that love the truth and obey the gospel. We as members of the Church of Christ love the truth. We love God, want to do His will, and we want to aid and assist you in doing so. Sadly, there are some hypocrites. Sadly, there are some into it for an ulterior motive. But we teach and preach against them and try to deal with them as when we learn about them. But why not have a tender heart, obey the truth, love the truth, because that is the will of God. You'll never regret it. If we can assist you in your obedience, give us a call. We appreciate you joining us today. And until next time, we hope that you'll learn the truth and obey it.